marketing seem like a huge chore to you? Well, you're not alone. I got the chance to talk with JC Granger today, a really chill dude, about how marketing's changed just in the past year. We've gone from marketing longer-term projects that have a much longer return on investment to short-term offerings that get a quicker turnaround. Changing up the marketing message is key to that. But then, how do you get that message out to a lot more people faster? The solution? A sprinkle of automation on our favorite social media platform, LinkedIn. I won't spoil the details about today's episode, but be prepared to pick up some excellent tips to polish up your own marketing message and what you can say that will keep you top of mind with clients who are also struggling to figure things out. And as always, enjoy the listen. Hey, you're on the hot mic at Arch DevOps with Fritz. I'm here today with JC Granger, founder and CEO of Infinity Marketing Group. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, thanks for being available. This is one of the most chill dudes. I mean, I was asking him, and I'm like, you ever been on a podcast before? And I knew the answer because he's just like, shoot, man, I've been on a bunch of these. He's so laid back. Had me fooled for a second, too. I was looking, and I said, wow, he's got a really cool office set up here, and then he moved his arm, and I'm like, that's a green screen.
Yeah, so, well, you know, I don't want you to see the dirty dishes, you know?
Yeah. Socks and underwear laying around. This is why I do it in my truck, man. You don't even, it's like, this is a real deal. Well, like I said, I'm glad to meet with somebody that is in the marketing space. I think I've kind of gotten into that myself organically. I mean, it's just one of the hats that we wear as small business owners. But I love marketing. It's just a lot of fun being able to reach a lot of people at scale and figure out like, okay, got a message and how do I reach the right people at the right time? And that's where guys like you come in. So tell us a little bit about Infinity Marketing Group and what is it that distinguishes you from every other marketing firm out there?
It's a good question. There's, you know, you could throw a rock from where you're standing and hit a marketing group somewhere, right? A marketing agency. But that's how many are out there. Me personally, you know, I've been doing digital marketing almost a little over 20 years, which, you know, I think that's almost as long as it's literally existed as a thing. So I think by pure chance of birth year and interest, I just happened to catch the digital marketing wave when it became, you know, a thing. I've owned the company for about 10 years now. And you know, we mostly concentrate in like that B2B SaaS and tech space, right? I'm just a geek from Silicon Valley. So, you know, I got to go with the type of people that they're my people, right? You know, like I nerd out on, you know, B2B software and stuff. Like the quickest way for me to lose a whole day is to say, hey, send me a link and be like, have you seen this new SaaS? Like, I'm like, oh, cool. Well, there goes 9 hours of my day. Like, cause that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna watch all the videos. I'm gonna play around with the free trial, you know, and I have an obscene amount of subscriptions, but in my defense, you know, software makes the world go round. And, you know, if you get the right combination of stuff that you can buy, and use, you can, you know, do the same work as 100 people if you only have 20 kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So there is a real reason for it. But anyway, so I took my passion and kind of turned that into our target market. You know, we like B2B tech, you know, that's our jam. We used to be full service. We have recently, you know, because of COVID and whatnot, you know, these long-term plans aren't as valuable and they don't work as well when everything has kind of gone belly up a little bit. So we've really, really dialed in and focused on our, you know, LinkedIn, B2B lead gen ecosphere more than anything recently. So we are essentially complete, you know, that was already a service we offered, but now we're completely converting over to that, you know, building out automation stuff, doing manual stuff, replying for clients, almost kind of like a halfway sales side of it, but like not all the way. Even building out things like, you know, company page build outs and, you know, content, all these things. So we're still doing technically all the services we used to do. Mm-hmm. We're just only going to be doing them around the LinkedIn ecosphere, you know, so okay. Content, social media, you know, written video, automation, all that stuff we always did in other areas, but now it's all about B2B lead gen.
Right. You know, that it's like you just yanked the question out of my head. And folks at home listening, I promise no episode of the Hot Mic at Arch DevOps is scripted, but I was going to ask, I'm like, how's marketing changed for you since coronavirus? And so, yeah. Well, there goes 5 minutes, right? Look at all that time we saved.
Well, You know, it's funny you asked it though, because, you know, I had, I just came out with a co-authored book, this month, just dipping my toe into the whole author thing. Right. I just wrote a marketing chapter in a business book, called Money Matters. But, the chapter I wrote gave me, is based on your question actually. And it gave me the idea to write a full book about this. So, the title of the book that I want to write here that I'm already started writing is called Crisis Marketing. You know, how to survive and thrive during, you know, like pandemics, bubble bursts, you know, corporate scandals, things like that. Right. And to your question, you know, how does marketing change? Well, it's changed completely because, you know, you used to have these long-term things you could look at, right? You know, SEO, right. For example, SEO is a, if you're starting an SEO campaign, you got 9 months before you're really seeing the results that you really want to see. Right. You don't have 9 months right now. Nobody does. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, some people do, but there's a lot of industries that don't have, you know, 9 weeks, let alone 9 months.
Yeah.
So I started thinking about, you know, how do you have to completely overhaul your marketing and even just internal business model sometimes to survive a black swan event like this? You know what I mean? Because if you stick with the old way, then, you know, it's just, you're just a ticking clock about to run down to zero. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's a good question because everything's changed right now. Basically it's this, the reason why we're going straight into lead gen is because, you know, people don't care about marketing. They care about leads. If they can sell, they just need the leads. So it's that direct response, short-term, quick turnaround types of marketing that are thriving more now than ever because people just don't have the time to wait for the big branding stuff anymore. Right. I mean, if you were sitting on $100 million, okay, fine. If you're a big company and you can survive the storm, sure. But you know, your Main Street type of companies, they don't have that. They don't have that time. You know, they need to figure out, what do we do now? Your SaaS startups that were running out of funding and then now they're not going to get a second round because of COVID. So they got to make this work. What do they do? You know, so that's kind of where we started heading and it's been working out.
Man. Yeah. I mean, that is something that I've seen. I mean, there's parts and pieces of our own business that, you know, previously we'd have something that's kind of a long sales cycle and people are like, yeah, we don't really feel good spending that kind of money. It's like, we know we need it, but we have other pressing issues right now. And that's what, just across the board, people I've talked in other sectors that they're saying they're focusing on short-term stuff. They don't have 9 months worth of money to budget out for a big service that's going to take a while to get an ROI. They're like, what can we do today to keep the lights on? And it's scary, you know, when a big portion of your business comes from, you know, whale hunting, basically, then all of a sudden the whales are in hiding. It's like, well, shoot, now we got to really hustle, you know? And that's a lot of different companies. So, man, what about the tone and the timbre of the marketing, the messaging, you know, have you had to change how you approach people? What's it like for you when you work for somebody now versus, you know, 2 years ago, what's it like when you're trying to communicate with people and you want to get a marketing message out for one of your clients?
Well, so to answer, there's two answers, one for us and one for our clients. For us, you know, when all this was going down really heavy, you know, in March, April, May kind of thing, our biggest thing, you know, we knew we were going to survive because we were very lean as a company.
Right.
You know, we weren't over bloated. A lot of agencies out there who have already failed now, unfortunately, at this point, have gone under is because, you know, they were too top heavy. You know, they were all sales, no process. And when the sales die, the process eats you alive, the lack thereof, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we were going to be okay. So our first thing was we had to just make sure that we were hitting our market and telling them we were okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to instill that initial trust that, like, hey, it's not about, you know, are we around today? People want to know that if I hire you, you're going to be around tomorrow. You know, that's not something that people have had to consider before. Right. And at least not in, you know, probably 10 years, you know, or 20 actually, really, you know, I mean, you know, well, 08 for the housing crash, but you know, the bubble burst in 01 and, you know, so now it's more or less about showing that authority and showing that presence and making people feel safe that you are here to stay. So that's step number one, right? That was for us. And that's also for our clients. We tell them, like, listen, like, our biggest thing we need to do is make sure that people know you're alive and kicking.
Yeah.
And that the certain things that we talk about for you have the implied impression that these are long-term things within the, within your company, right? So if one of our clients is a software company, you know, that does, let's say, proposal documents, I don't know, something like that, you know, we want to make sure not only are we reaching out on a more very laser targeted fashion and only reaching out to the people. This is why LinkedIn's so important, because you can really target the right people to talk to. So we make sure we're targeting the right people, but also the messaging has to really convey, like, hey, you know, and it, like, for example, let's say you did get another round of funding. You're going to want to say that. That's not something you normally would say to people. It would be a little extra, right? It'd be a little weird. It would sound like you were trying too hard. Now it doesn't. Now it sounds like you're saying, hey, by the way, we got another founding, like another round of another round of funding. So not only are we going to be around, but clearly there's trust in our business model. So you can feel safe buying our software or, you know, hiring us as a service or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, and these aren't necessarily said, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, we're still around. We're going to be around. You can trust us. No, but it's the verbiage you use to imply these things, because people right now, there's so much uncertainty, and that's what kills markets. That's what kills deals. It's the uncertainty. So we're trying to establish certainty for our clients and making sure that we're only spending a defined amount of their budget on things that can work fast and give them results now. Once they see the results coming in with a smaller budget, for example, well, then they'll open up the floodgates. But everyone is skittish right now, and for good reason, you know?
Yeah.
So for us and for our clients, and the advice I give is, you know, take whatever has the fastest results, even if they're not the biggest results. Go for whatever the fastest results are to instill confidence in your target market.
Mm. You know, right in line with that, what I've heard is that, you know, vulnerability right now is big, and it's that sounds manipulative, like just act vulnerable, act human, you know, but the fact is, I mean, a lot of people are understandably scared right now. And if you tune your messaging as, hey, we're here for you, and we want to do what helps you the best, the most, in the shortest amount of time, holy moly, you can build a lot of rapport in a hurry. I started doing something similar to that a few months back, you know, just conversing individually with a lot of different people. And I'm like, every minute I spend with somebody, I'm investing a minute of my time into their lives and learning about, hey, here's what's keeping me up at night. Here's what's bugging me. Here's what I'm worried about, you know, as a business owner, CTO, president, founder, whatever. You know, and they demonstrate that trust in you by just talking with you, you know, and it's led to some work, actually. I was surprised. I'm like, whoa, it came out of nowhere. But when you're connecting on a deep level with people, some really amazing things happen. That's one of the things I've kind of enjoyed about coronavirus, is that people are really open and willing to just talk, and they can share, you know, it's neat. It's really cool.
Well, you know, to go back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, what was the word you used as far, it was like that empathetic word. What was,
I forgot. My mental stack is only 5 minutes deep. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess,
I got four kids, man. I can't remember anything these days. I can't even remember their names.
I guess my point is that I think that people are looking for authenticity.
Mm.
And I think the best way to be authentic is just to be real, just to say what it is, the way it is, and not feel like you have to overplay it, you know, where you have to hide it or anything like that. You know, so it's not a matter of being manipulative. I think it's just about being authentic, you know, because to admit that things are hard is not a weakness. It's a strength in itself, right? You're not saying things are hard and so I'm screwed and woe is me. You're saying things are hard, but this is how I'm getting through it personally. And here's how my business is going to get through it. Here's my plan, right? In the military, I remember I was Air Force, and I remember they always told us, they said, you know, don't ever come to anyone with a problem without a solution. Because otherwise you're just complaining.
Right.
So if you got a problem, at least come up with some way to move that ball forward. It may not be a full solution. It may not be the cure. But if it can help a little bit, then you can bring the problem. Otherwise you're just complaining. And so I think that, you know, with so many people going through so much stress in their lives right now, professionally, personally. I think that you're seeing people like yourself opening up and taking more time to talk to people. Because, I mean, how about this? There's not enough therapists to handle the whole world.
No, there's not.
We have to rely on each other now. It's community, right? There's professional community. There's personal community. The fact is, you know, people are so overtaxed that it's kind of, well, who do you talk to? Who can relate? And so when you have, when people start coming together to be that sounding board and that open ear, it really helps because they're really, I mean, it sounds funny, but there's really not enough professional, you know, mental health professionals in the world to handle something that's affecting the whole world at once.
Yeah.
That's an overload of the system. So we have to help each other. We have to listen to each other, you know, and that doesn't just mean, you know, personal stuff. You know, we're both professionals. You know, if we have a conversation about how our businesses are hurting or doing good, you know, or, you know, if it's because of the pandemic or in spite of, you know, that's all feedback that we can help each other with, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of people think that talking to one another is only a personal thing you do with friends. But in this particular time, I think it's important that professionals realize that they should be able to reach out to other professionals and just say, you know what, man, this shit's been hard. You know, like, this is what I'm doing. This wasn't working. What have you been doing? Anything that's been working better? Have you heard of anything? I got some ideas, you know, and I'm hopeful and I'm positive, but it's hard. And, you know, I think a lot of people are scared to say something like that, especially to someone they don't really know all that personally, but I think they would be very surprised at the feedback they get from that. I think they're not only going to get someone who will listen and give them advice, but I think they might have to listen back, you know, because I think that person's going to be like, wow, I can talk to this person, and they can say, well, yeah, my business is, you know, this would hurt us and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you just need to say it out loud, and then it just gets, you can lift a little bit of that weight off your chest, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a shared burden. You know, when you know going in that everybody is struggling in largely the same way, it's not like, oh, I suck. You know, if there's something I'm doing wrong, it's like, we've all got the same handicap. And I've done exactly what you've said too. You know, I'll spin up conversations with people and say, you know, how are you lifing right now? How do you find the energy to adult every day? It's like, sometimes I get up and I'm just like, I don't feel like adulting today. I just want to stay in bed. Right. But that's the thing with a lot of people. They're like, they've all got to go through it. And no one on the planet has gone through something like this before. Probably the last big pandemic was 1918. And I mean, there have been diseases and stuff since then, but nothing on a worldwide scale like this. It's like, nah, it's the first time for everybody. It's not the first time it's ever happened, but it's the first time for us. So it's new to us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, I got some more technical questions that I want to ask, but we got to take a short break for a sponsor message. So let's keep the engines hot here. And when we come back, I'll ask you some questions about the nuts and bolts of what you got going on. So stay tuned. Okay. And we're back for part two. So I wanted to ask you about this before, and then we were talking about more philosophical things, and I always love talking about the human side. And then the left part of my brain was like, ooh, pick me. So we could talk about some technical stuff. You'd mentioned you're focused on LinkedIn, and it sounds like you're like a pretty hardcore bot nerd. Is that accurate? You like write little robots and things for it?
No, I don't like bot. I hate the word bot because bot is so impersonal. There are things that can be automated and there are things that cannot. So for example, in our system, you know, we'll automate things that don't need a human, as in, let's say I already have a list of the target prospects that you want. Let's say there's 1500 in that list.
Yep.
I can automate the connection request. I can automate just the part that doesn't involve any kind of human touch. Right. Mm-hmm. But when that person replies, you know, if they accept it, let's say we send it, and I can automate the first message going out too, for example. But if that person replies with something, well, we can't automate that because the reply is going to be unique. So we make sure that so our service in particular, you asked earlier how it separates us from maybe other agencies. There's a few agencies out there that obviously do LinkedIn, you know, automation, but they stop at this part where they say, okay, the conversation started, now it's on you. And listen, that's fine. The problem is, I find that people, you know, they get busy, even salespeople, you know, they get real busy, and it's not easy for them to answer and reply to every single reply. Sometimes you get these dead end replies, like a thumbs up emoji or a thanks, right? And it's really easy to just move on after that. The problem is those add up. And so what we do is we make sure we're answering and pushing the conversation forward on 100% of the replies. So no money or opportunity is left on the table. Mm-hmm. We do that for the clients, right? And I don't know of any other services that do that. I'm not saying there's not, I just don't know of any. And I've done a pretty good amount of research. So we take it that step further. The analogy I put, as I say, you know, we don't just lead the horse to water. We lower its head to the water, make it touch its lips. You know what I mean? Like, like we take it that step further to make it just that much easier. This way, when that person replies and they are interested and they ask a buying question, like, you know, pricing or terms or features, things like that, then that gets passed on to sales. Now it's a warm lead, right? Whereas a lot of companies that do this, any reply is simply on you to deal with.
Right.
But there's so many of those that are not warm replies yet that that can really bog down your day. So we take that part on additionally beyond that.
Okay, nice. Well, that's a huge value add, because there are some different tools on the market that do a lot of that same stuff. But then once they reply, it's like, whoa, what the heck? I don't know what to do with this at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. We don't want to blow our cover and be like, oh, it's a bot. It's automation. Oh my goodness. Right. But that's neat, man. I mean, that really is a huge lift. I mean, that's something I've struggled with for years. It's like, okay, well, what falls into the scope of marketing? What falls into sales? And then why is it so dang hard to do one or the other? You know, but if you're taking that off their plate, maybe we might have to have a different conversation later. I'm telling you, if we ever pull a bunch of bank or something, we'll have to chat about this.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
awesome.
You know, that part where we reply, the initial replies anyway, that is a gray area between marketing and sales. We're not a sales company, we're a marketing company, but we are technically going a little further, but we're not necessarily also selling it either completely. What it is we work out a reply scenario document with our client. If they reply with this, then we reply with that. If they reply with this, then we reply with that. And if it goes outside of those bounds or it becomes a buying question, which is obviously something you only want your salespeople to handle, then we pass it on. But we do kind of exist in this gray area where most marketing agencies tend to not travel. And we did this. Listen, I'll be honest. Every now and then we'd have some client that was like, well, you know, I got a few leads, but you know, not as many as I wanted. And I'd say, okay, well, that's weird. Let me go check. And I'd go audit their account and I go look, and I'd find 10, 15, sometimes 20 replies. And we're not talking like thumbs up emojis or thanks. I'm talking about, like, I've literally taken screenshots of ones where the person replied back, like, we love it. We checked your pricing, you know, let's set up a call. And then like the salesperson never replied to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting so frustrated with a few clients because I was like, I don't know how else to make this work. Like, if the person replied back to you asking for you to talk to them, like, they're like, they love it, they're in, they want to have a conversation, and you don't reply back, like, I have no idea how to help you from that point. And so I got frustrated. But one day I realized, you know, I can sit here and I can point the finger, and rightfully so, or I can fix it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to fix it. I said, fine, if the salespeople don't want to reply to leads that are coming in, then we will reply and we will do it for them. And we will literally hand it on a silver platter right up to them. And we will send them only the lead. And we even took their booking calendar link, say, fine, this, if the person says they want to talk, then we wouldn't just leave it at that. We would reply back and say, great, here's a link to my calendar, book anytime. Like, we would just appointment set the damn thing. Cause I was like, this is getting ridiculous, right? Like, I don't know how much more anyone expects of us, right? So I said, well, screw it. Let's just add that on. Again, it was frustrating, but when I got over that part, the frustration of just staring at a screen of all these unanswered leads, I was like, are you kidding me? I said, fine, we'll answer the damn leads. but clients loved that, though. They really did. And the results were even better than if they had, because when we left it on the client, even if they replied to the good ones, we found that they typically weren't replying to the ones that were dead end that they could push further, right? Like a thanks or like a neutral reply where they could push it further, and they weren't doing that. And that was about 30% of the messages. You know, that's a lot, right? That's a huge amount. So we would push those conversations further, and then those would turn into leads. So now they're getting, you know, 20, 30% more leads than they would have, even if they were replying to all the leads to begin with. So everything about us adding that on worked out, I guess, is my point. So that's part of our staple of what we do now.
Well, it's above and beyond what other people do, like you said. So that's really neat that you're like, and then you're just like, ah, we'll do a little bit more. We'll put that extra frosting on the top. I'm kind of curious. So I'm sure that when it comes to you, like you and your business, there's going to be, you know, ice cold people that are like not a fit. There's some people that are like, yeah, they might be a fit. Some that are like ready to rock and roll. What would it take? So if somebody were sort of a cold lead, but they at least know that they need marketing and that this might be an option, is there something that they could do to put themselves in a better position to be an even better fit? Like, do you have any kind of 10 steps to polish your LinkedIn profile or five steps to, like, what do you have? What would you recommend?
We actually have a PDF that we created. It was kind of like the five steps to, I have to remember the exact title, but it's basically a five-step guide on how to do things on your own in LinkedIn to help with that. I can give you the link to it if you want. Maybe you can put it in the show notes for your audience or whatnot. But we do have a guide like that. So, you know, we try to help people as much as we can to help themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll put out content and helpful tips and tricks and things like that all the time. You know, we only charge to do the work, right? So, right. You know, it's not that anything we do couldn't be replicated by someone internally. It's just they don't have the time. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, to stay on top of, right? You got to purchase softwares. You got to link them together. You've got to have your strategy down. You know, the automation isn't really the big deal, to be honest. All that does is help scale. Mm-hmm. It's your strategy that's important. It's knowing what to say and what not to say and when to say it and when not to say it. You know, it's knowing where all the landmines are buried. You know, you can automate a campaign right into the ground just as easily as you can automate it to be extremely successful. So The automation really is not the foundation of anything we do. That's just one piece. That's just one tool that allows scalability. Realistically, understanding the LinkedIn community and what they accept and don't accept from a messaging standpoint, so they're not going to look at you like some spam person. Understanding how the targeting works, right? It may sound simple, like, oh, I'm just going to target the people we go after. Like, okay, but have you really ever sat down and asked yourself who exactly the right people are and why? And even if they're the right people to talk to as the decision makers, is the decision maker the right person to talk to first? Right? Like, what are the odds of getting the decision maker? If your target market is, you know, companies over 200 employees, you think you're going to get the CEO's time? No, they have people for that. So you should target those people, for example, right? But a lot of people, they're like, if I say, you know, who's your target market? They say, oh, CEOs of tech companies that are doing 20 million plus. I'm like, really? So how successful have you been getting hold of CEOs of companies that big?
They're not on LinkedIn.
Well, they're on LinkedIn. They're just not replying to you. You know what I mean? Like they're on there for the people that they feel that is worth their time because they have very little of it. And they have other people that they hire to take care of these things. So I guess my point is that the strategy comes in all different parts of this. And it's just one big chain. If any link in that chain is weak, the whole thing is going to break, right?
Yeah.
And the whole campaign fails. So it's insanely important to not just, you know, hire a company that can put it together. You know, anybody can link pieces together, but are these pieces the same color? Are they the same strength? You know, like you see what I'm saying? Like it has to work. So that's where I think we really excel. We've been doing the LinkedIn stuff for years, and now we're chopping pretty much most of our other services and just going all in on this because it's so needed right now with the way things are going with COVID.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I don't know when we're going to get back to any semblance of normal. Part of me thinks that we're never going to get back to that. But, you know, assuming that this is the lay of the land right now, you're doing the right thing and you're doing a good job from what I've heard. And we've not met until today. And I'm already convinced. I'm like, yeah, this is absolutely the right approach. You know, going after people, focusing on a particular niche, focusing on a particular social platform, you'll find the right people. And that's a service you provide. That's really cool, man.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. Well, for the folks at home that are listening, I know we've got some of them that are also business owners, and podcasting is getting to be kind of a big thing. So if they were to come to you and say, hey, JC, you were just on this podcast with this Fritz guy, and people keep saying I should get on and do a podcast. Why should I get on and do this podcast with Fritz? What would you tell them?
Oh man, come on. I love talking to people like you because, you know, you just got this really open personality. You know, like you're talking about that I'm the chill guy, and then you're like 10 times more chill than me.
We're just a couple chill dudes talking, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, that's what it's all about too. You know, building relationships, you know, being heard, you know, between me and you hear each other, but you have an audience. So now your audience will hear us together as well.
Yeah.
I have a podcast that we started that we're going to be launching soon. And so, you know, I have mine. And honestly, I think people should do podcasts, if nothing else, just so that more people can have a voice that maybe didn't typically have it before, you know? Mm-hmm. And how we even help people get guests on their podcasts. That's one thing we end up using our LinkedIn stuff for. LinkedIn can be used for a lot of things. It was just interesting, right? I was talking to someone the other day, a friend of mine, they wanted to get their resume out there. And I'm like, LinkedIn can help you with that too. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many things that could be used for, but I definitely think people should get on your podcast if they can. If anyone's listening, they want to be a guest on yours, and I recommend it because you're a cool dude. I like you, Mike.
Awesome, man. Well, I like you too. I never know going in. I'm like, what's this guy gonna be like? But like, vast majority of people have been just awesome. There have been a couple of flops, but hey, you know, it's gonna happen. It's up to me to like get the conversation going. Come on, man, get some stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is cool, and I think, you know, from one automation nerd to another, you're doing some really cool things. I may have some neat stuff I want to show you later on. But for today, I want to be respectful of your time, and I'll let you bounce off here in a little bit. But thanks again for showing up and getting out there and sharing your story and talking about what you're seeing in this wild and crazy world, man.
No, I appreciate it. And if anyone listening wants to jump into our website or talk to us, our website's infinitymgroup.com. Mm-hmm. Or they can just email me at jc@infinitymgroup.com as well.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Perfect. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Well, take care. Have a good rest of the day. All right.
You too, Michael. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.